Devils Productions presents The Great Deep.
Hello and welcome to episode number 39 of The Great Deep. My name's Ryan Calder, your host for the show, and this podcast series runs parallel to the music of The Great Deep album, explores a little bit deeper some of the issues and themes in the music.
Okay, I've shared my own musical influences growing up in the previous podcast, which I'll link to in the show notes. There's plenty of anecdotal nostalgia and a trip down memory lane for anyone who grew up in the 80s or 90s in South Africa. Today, though, I'd like to put a twist on the musical influence idea and interview my brother John from Cape Town. For those who don't know, John plays keyboard with me whenever we are able to, and is also one of the most avid listeners to podcasts that I know. John, welcome.
Good to be with you.
So today's podcast takes a bit of a twist. And for those who have listened to the BBC, we've borrowed this concept from the Desert Island Discs show. Johnny, you are off to a desert island. And while you're stranded there, you have three songs which you can take with you to keep you company, as well as two songs from our catalog together. So for those who don't know, John has been involved in every musical outing with me and is a primary bouncing board for the music I write and just about every other creative outlet. So I think people will be interested to hear your choices and why you've chosen them. So here we go. Your first song on your list that you would take with you to a desert island.
The first song I would choose would have to be a song called A Man You Would Write About. It's by a band called For Him. And I think for me, it's just one of those songs that takes me back to when I was a kid. It's a song that I can remember listening to on different family holidays that we went on together. And melodically and lyrically, it's just a beautiful song from one of my favorite bands. I've been listening to For Him for decades. And that's very much because of your influence, Ryan. But this is one of those songs that was introduced to us early on because it was the days of cassettes. And I can remember either just listening to For Him with you or borrowing the cassettes from you and then listening to it on my own. And what I love about For Him is just their focus on lyrics and melody. And in terms of the lyrics, it's often just scripture through and through and throughout their music. So I tend to be drawn to songs and artists for the music first, and then only later kind of dive into what the song's about or what the lyrics are about, which I know can be a bit of a dangerous thing. And it's quite opposite to you probably, because I think you focus on lyrics first. But when I think about, you know, songs I want to take with me to a desert island, For Him is one of the first bands that comes to mind, because I know that their lyrics are speaking scriptural truths in a way that it is just a positive and good and strong influence. I think especially for this song, what I really like about it is just that the lyrics are very much formed as a prayer. And I think a lot of the songs that I like are that way. When you look at them lyrically, they're things that can be sung as a prayer. But in terms of the musical influence, I just love, this is a song that comes out of the early 90s. And in a lot of For Him's music from that period, and even later on, is just such a strong 80s keyboard influence in terms of like the synth sounds that they use. And yeah, I just love it.
Still was being written to this day.
So let's talk about cassettes for a moment. You mentioned cassettes there. And if we go back, I mean, that was an era of music where we would save up money just so that we could go and buy the album. And it wasn't the sort of listening era of music that we have now where everything's at your fingertips. You would go and buy this cassette. It was like a treasured possession. And then you go and play it over and over again. And like it would get stretched in certain parts of the song, which you can't undo.
Yeah.
But it was something that you would take with you everywhere. Like music was something that you took with you. You didn't just pull it out of a cloud or from your subscription or whatever. And that, I think, is an interesting phenomenon that's changed. So the same kind of music was stuff that we listened to over and over again when we were kids in our bedrooms. We would, you know, have it playing there constantly. We would play it in the car on road trips as a family. Mm-hmm. But the other thing you mentioned there, lyrics. So on a different note with lyrics, how do you notice them? Does it dawn on you quite quickly once you've found a really cool keyboard riff?
Well, it's funny with keyboard riffs. I think of this album is called Face the Nation. And there's another track on the album called Walls of Jericho. And it's got a like classic keyboard riff, you know, but the musical structure of the song just enhances the lyrics. So I think for some songs like that, it'll just stand out straight away. But generally for me, I think the music gives me a feeling, and with good songwriters, the feeling that the music gives you will be well aligned with the lyrics. But then there are often standout lines or lyrics, and those will pique my interest or my imagination. And then I'll inevitably find myself Googling the lyrics to check if I'm hearing them right, or looking at websites to see if the other people who also like the songs and how do they interpret the meaning of the songs and the lyrics, or even to be able to try and dive into what the artists themselves have said about the song they've written. I think if anything, a lot of artists like to leave lyrics open to interpretation. And maybe that's even more common in the modern, sort of more modern era. But with For Him in general, and particularly with a song like this, it's very clear and you just know what it's about. The lyrics are clear and purposeful. So, yeah.
All right. So you're off to a desert island. What's your second choice?
Okay. So my second song choice is a bit of a weird one. But here I would pick a song called River Constantine. And again, I'm picking the song because of my memory of an album. You know, it's kind of the same as with a man you would write about. I think of the whole album of songs from Face the Nation and almost all of those songs I can remember listening to on holidays and traveling in the car. So with this song, River Constantine, it's by a band called Jars of Clay off the album If I Left the Zoo. And the reason I picked this song is it's one of those songs that's more of a musical pull and a memory rather than necessarily the lyrics of the song. Although again, the lyrics of the song are very much sung as a prayer. And this is one of the first CDs, you know, first albums that I can remember owning and listening to on repeat. I was listening to it for weeks and months on end in my teenage years. Because when I first got a CD player and I had this album, I owned this album, I could sit in my room and just listen to this album whenever I wanted to. And this is the last song on the album. It's very sort of stripped down, acoustic guitar, piano. It's very tranquil. And for me, it's just one of those songs that takes me back to that time in my life. And it's a band I was introduced to as a teenager and have listened to from then through until now. So I think the song signifies for me that era of listening through entire albums. And I find I'm often really interested in the songs that come at the end of an album, because when you, at a time when you only had a few CDs or albums, you would listen through everything. Come down, pour
Talk about that time of your life and albums. You know, you're listening to a whole album there. That time of your life, what were you doing? How did music impact you?
Well, I imagine it was very different to what my peers, at least at school, would have been listening to at the time. But for me, it was a time where I was involved in youth group. And I think Jars of Clay was just a band that I was listening to a lot at the time. And I think the same is true for you and for friends of ours in the church. And we were influenced a lot by them in our days together as Pulse, which is where we started making music together. So it's just a strong association at that time of my life because of the way that it was shaping and influencing me. But the sort of two things I had thought of with respect to this band is, one is that there are songs of theirs that we would like later learn to cover and then sing like as a warm-up or sound check as a band. You know, songs like Faith Like a Child, or yeah, just sort of learn to play parts of or sing and cover together. And then the other thing was, in the years subsequent to listening to this album, getting an opportunity with you and some of our friends to actually go and hear Jars of Clay live when they came out to South Africa. And it's a surreal memory, but we actually got to go backstage and meet them in person. And that was just a profound evening, I think, you know, being able to go and experience them live in concert after having met them in person and chatted to them briefly. Just really positive memory of, you know, sort of, yeah, music of our youth.
And it's funny when you meet people for the first time and see them physically, how short they were.
This is true.
I just remember shaking their hands and we were all looking down on them. You know, when you have this iconic image of like this big influence in your life, and then you like,
yeah.
I mean, especially you just like look down like, oh, these like short rock stars looking up at this 6-foot-7 keyboardist. That was just,
yeah.
And it was an amazing, amazing evening. I was thinking about that the other day as well. All right, so song number 3, you're off to a desert island. What's going to keep you company?
Yeah, song number 3 for me is The Great Adventure by Stephen Curtis. And specifically, the album for me is the album Recreation, which came out in 2011. So this is a re-recording of one of Stephen's earliest songs, probably. And I guess for me, there's a theme here of, you know, choosing songs, but thinking about albums, which is intentional. But I think, I was introduced to Stephen Curtis Chapman as a youngster with this sort of live, cassette of his live album. So that was the version of the song I heard originally. But what drew me to this album and to this version of the song was hearing him talk about the process of how he came to record this album. And he ended up going back and re-recording some of his earliest songs, along with his two sons playing along with him. And then he wrote a new song on ukulele for the first time. So this album is really acoustic. It mixes, you know, acoustic guitars and ukulele and the different percussion elements, but it's just very stripped down. And I think that it's a fascinating album concept to revisit songs in this way, you know, record them stripped down in studio, and to revisit those songs with different people who weren't around when the songs were originally recorded. So for him, in this case, it was very much a family affair in terms of the people that he involved. But I can remember this song, you know, again, very much from listening to it in the car on holidays and road trips. This album is probably one of my favorite albums by him. And just to be able to hear the way the songs were reinvented in such a stripped down way, true to the core of the song in terms of instrumentation, so that the lyrics and melody just shine. And I think one of the things that Stephen talks about in the making of this album is how he had found himself coming to revisit these songs and appreciating the lyrics in a new light, in light of the journey that, you know, he and his family have walked. And so I read his biography fairly recently, and that again was just so fascinating, just to experience sort of some of it through his eyes, as opposed to just my knowledge or awareness of his life and his family life through the lens of his music, rather hearing it from in his own words, from his perspective. So yeah, this is just a special album, I think, that I really have come to appreciate. I heard somebody say, let's go, saddle up your horses, we've got a trail to blaze. Through the wild blue yonder, I've got amazing grace. In terms of artists who recreate their songs, in other words, they re-record and they do an alternative version, do you like that? Some people think, oh no, you're just like ruining my favorite song. But if there's an acoustic version of a song, or they change up the chords and they do that kind of reinvention, like what Stephen's done with this song, do you like that kind of thing? I absolutely love it. I'm all for the B-sides and the, you know, later reinventions of songs or reinterpretations of songs. I mean, it's natural that we get attached to the original version of the song. It's an original incarnated form, and the way it sounds. But I think that for sure, I love it when artists re-record different versions of songs later on. And I often find myself enjoying those more than the original, because there's just something beautiful about it for me when you get to appreciate a song in a new way, or maybe different parts of it are emphasized than were emphasized in the original.
So in terms of our music together, we've been playing music together for over 20 years now. If you were going to take two songs from our catalog to a desert island, what would your first choice of song be?
So I think my first choice would be Leave It Behind. And for me, it's one of my favorite sounding songs that the RCB has done. But also it's a memory of the process of writing and recording it. So I can remember we worked on it together in a studio at the university grounds in Pietermaritzburg. And I think we had a session where I was familiar generally with the song, but you were introducing it to our drummer and bassist. And when we played it for them, they then took it to another level by adding rhythmic and chordal sort of structure to it that hadn't come through in the original acoustic version you had, and the way that I learned to play along with you on the piano. So that was just a really fun and fulfilling process to sort of see how a song can grow when you put different musical minds together, and just enjoy that process of collaborating on it. But I think the other two aspects of the song that I really like are that it has a really good flow and a really good mix of all the different parts that each person contributed. So I love Tammy's vocals on it and the way the vocals blend together in the chorus. And then in terms of the way the chords and the melody intersect, and that sort of transition between verse and chorus, and particularly from like chorus, like out of chorus into a second verse. That's something I've noticed often with musicians, with a song like River Constantine. If you listen to it, the transition from the first chorus back into the verse, so into the second verse, is a beautiful musical transition. And so for us with the song like Leave It Behind, I like those little moments in songs where there's just a cohesion that you can feel that is, it's designed and calibrated to pull together. So that I find really fulfilling. And I think that's just a song that we executed well on together as a band. But in general, I tend to go for the the slower, smoother, flowy songs as opposed to the very upbeat rhythmic stuff. So yeah, that's probably what draws me to that song in particular too.
And
very melancholy by nature.
And lyrically, it's a very apt song for if you're going to go to a desert island as well, and you've only got a certain amount of things that you can take with you. So,
this is very true.
All right, so you've got one more song from our catalog. Which one would you choose?
So I'd have to pick a song from The Great Deep. I love a lot of the songs on The Great Deep, and especially the songs that I wasn't directly involved in contributing to, because when you don't play on a song, then you're less critical. When I'm involved in things, then I tend to be very self-critical and aware of things that were done wrong or could have been done better.
But I think every musician in the world is like that, just by the way. Yes.
But I think in terms of the songs, The Great Deep, the song I would have to pick would be Once More Flame, because of the process of writing the song and bringing structure to it. I remember, again, the four of us, you, me, Rudy and Roberto, working on this song together at Grace Church. And the process, if I remember correctly, was that we were actually looking to try and work on some new music. And you had some lyrics that you'd written, and you had a couple of chord ideas / riffs that I'd sent through to you. And you played a couple of them, and this one caught the interests of Roberto and Rudy. And so we decided, okay, let's see if we can take that idea and develop that. And then you pulled out some lyrics from your lyric book that you'd written, I think, when you went over to Barcelona. And then we kind of just a song was born in that one session. And it was, again, just really fulfilling how you could just take a seed or collection of seeds and then work together to, you know, the seeds were very much incomplete. You know, both the lyrics and the chords and riffs were just little ideas and seedlings. And then we were kind of able to collaborate together and quickly get a vision for what the song could be. And that song ended up being a very core component of the album as it was later fleshed out. So, yeah, I do really appreciate that song.
And that was a great song also. I think we released that in the middle of lockdown. It was a lot of the themes in those songs are hopeful ones. Especially that one was a nice collaborative piece that we did together, which is you know, full of hope and full of you can do this.
Yeah. But I think, again, it's a good song as an island theme. I mean, having fire on an island could be fairly crucial.
Smoke signals.
All the darkness in the world, can't dim the light of one small flame.
Tony, fantastic. Thank you very much for your time. And I know people will be interested to hear something from the band, from the wider collective of musicians. And so,
for sure, it's my pleasure.
And anything else you would take with you of like fundamental importance to a desert island? Toothpaste, bar of soap?
Anything? No, I wouldn't worry about all of that. What I would really need to take with me is a really good sounding and comfortable pair of headphones to listen to all these songs on.
Spoken like a true musician. Brilliant, Johnny. Thank you very much.
Cool.
Well, there it is. The interview with John. You've heard it from the man himself. It's interesting, he references For Him and that album Face the Nation. He was telling me afterwards how he remembers me learning how to play drums by literally playing along to that album. I would go to the back of the church, press play on the cassette, run to the front, and then play along with the music coming out the monitor. So it really was a formative time in our growing up. And really interesting to reflect back on those things. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. If you got any feedback, you can email us or let us know. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. The links will all be in the show notes. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next time, keep pondering the great deep.